The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Hey, yeah, so whatever happened to hobbies? Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
And welcome to the podcast today.
E como mai?
Thank you so much for listening.
Come in. Welcome.
So we are in a little more of the Hawaiian vibe, spirit.
Yeah, that was my tour guide voice.
I like that.
That's aloha kakou.
Because, we'll tell you why. So I ordered something from my friend. My friend lives in California, but she was born and raised in Hawaii, just like Toast and I were. And she sent her order, and it was in a large flat rate box, and that's the perfect size box for what I ordered from her. So I had it there on the side. I didn't open it right away, and a little earlier today, I started opening the box to unpack the order, and I was just so delighted because one of the first things in the top portion of the box were... My grammar's off. Seeds.
Was seeds, eh? Just use your pidgin English, girl.
Seeds.
Netita.
For us to plant for 2021. Okay, so very exciting. I love it.
Bush bean seeds.
And what's the other one?
And amaranth.
It's so fun. About that stuff. So I kept going through the box, and then, oh my gosh. Her homemade plum jam, plums from her tree in her yard. A nice jar of plum jam. And then, as if that's not enough, a whole box of Royal Cream crackers. And if you were born and raised in Hawaii, you know this. This is the Diamond brand. And it's right in front of us here, Original Hawaiian Royal Cream Crackers, which everyone knew growing up in Hawaii. So there's that. And we didn't even get to the actual order. And why I needed to share this is so typical Hawaii. Whenever you're sending anything and it's a flat rate, and it's a flat rate USPS box and there's room, you're shoving all kinds of things
more stuff inside because you're flat rate that.
You're putting goodies. You're putting all kinds of things. And I can't eat those crackers because they're gluten, but I know who's going to enjoy them.
Oh, man. My stomach is growling.
Why don't you take a taste? Why don't you just take a nice taste?
I need to open.
So I don't know how to describe these crackers to people who don't. To people who aren't from Hawaii. I never used to think this was a Hawaii thing, but it is. It's Diamond Bakery was established in 1921, which to me blows my mind. Hawaii was not even a state in 1921.
Hawaii became a state during the lifetime of our parents.
Yes, 1959.
It's the 50th 1959. State.
So taste that, Toast. Let's hear the crunch. We all heard the cellophane. Okay. Oh, my God. That sounds so good. So basically, it's this really... creamy. It's like rich... It's like an animal cracker.
I was just going to say, you know what they are?
Okay.
They're animal crackers.
But
not in the shape of animals.
But crunchier, I would say.
Yeah, probably slightly crunchier.
Denser and in a circle shape. So
that's it.
Super yummy.
They even have those little, you know how animal crackers have the little pinholes in them?
Yes.
These have the little pinholes on the top too.
That's right. We both thought animal crackers at the same time. We just telepathically.
When I tasted it, I was like, animal crackers.
So, Toast, this is my gift to you. that is for you to eat for breakfasts on end. Mm. And a lot of times people will eat it with jam, hence the plum jam, mm. or just butter. I know people who eat it with butter or just plain like you are. Mm-hmm. So that's gonna give you the energy to
talk about whatever happened to hobbies.
Hobbies.
I remember learning what a hobby was when I was a little kid, and I really liked the TV show Little House on the Prairie. And there was like a fan club for the show or something like that.
Were you in the fan club? And
I don't know if I was in the fan club.
I can see you being in it.
But I remember one of the questions was like, oh, you know, what's your name? And then what are your hobbies? And I'm like, I remember asking my mom, what is a hobby? And she kind of tried to explain it to me. And she mm-hmm. used the example of like collecting rocks, rock collecting, you know. And I just got it in my head of like rock collecting. And so I remember going to the library and looking up rock collecting.
Oh, funny.
And then only later, years later, did I realize how funny, because you live on a volcanic island. There's not a lot of different kinds of rocks on that island. You know, they're all volcanic rocks. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, hobbies. Okay, hobbies. Whatever happened to hobbies?
Well, what were your hobbies then?
So what were my hobbies?
Like during that time,
after I tried to make my hobby rock collecting, yeah. and that didn't work out.
What did you realize? Oh, I actually have hobbies,
yeah.
and they are...
So, well, you know, as a little kid, you don't really have hobbies, right?
Right.
Your hobby is just like riding your bike and playing tag and hide and seek.
There are just things you love.
Yeah, yeah, you don't think of them as hobbies. But my hobbies... were, when as I developed actual hobbies, I would say they were reading.
Okay.
And I for a time I did draw, but okay, so reading is the one that held on, and the other one that held on was music. Mm. So listening to music, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and really, like, remember back in the day when an album would come out, and then you would put on
an album toast a cassette tape? Or do you mean a CD? Or
any
an 8
of those.
Track, would you say?
No, not 8 track, not 8 track. But I would say more cassette.
Okay.
And then CD, for sure.
CD.
For sure, CDs.
Yeah.
But when the album would come out. And
so exciting.
And then you would just go and lie on your bed and put those foam covered little headphones on with the wire, you know, the wire.
Sony.
Yeah. And then you'd press play, mm-hmm. and then you just lie in the dark.
No, or liner notes in your hand.
I was just going to say, enough light, just a lamp by your bed so you could...
to absorb the liner
so
notes.
So you could read the liner notes and just listen to the music.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all you did is you just listened.
Yep.
You didn't scroll and look at other people's opinions about it. Or text other people's opinion. You just, mm-hmm. it was you.
And the music.
And the music. Yeah.
And the liner.
So that was a big one. And then.
Oh, I love that.
Also music is just, you know, playing music. Like trying to figure out the songs. Because after that, then you try to figure out the songs on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was it. Those were my hobbies. How about you? What were your hobbies?
Well, if we're talking about when we were really young, then I would say I always loved writing, you know, but I never really remembered that I loved writing until I took a trip back home to Hawaii, and then I found a bunch of my old stuff and I saw, oh, look, I wrote this little book. Oh, look, I wrote this little book. And
wow,
it's funny because even later as an adult, I gravitated towards just writing these little whimsical books, like all the little cat books I've written that are in a pile somewhere with my own little illustrations.
Yes, yeah.
And I even, there was one time, it's so funny, there was one time I remember Toast and I were fighting, and I wrote you a book to say I was sorry, and all the characters were vegetables. Do you remember
that? Yes, I do. I do. Yes.
So here yes. I am writing. And so I think that is something, writing little whimsical books. And I remember maybe one of the first ones, I was 7. And I wrote it and had the illustrations and everything in it. So I think writing is a hobby, more so than illustrating, you know, and okay, drawing and drawing. Things like that.
Although you do both in a very natural way.
It's
a creative outlet.
Yes, that doesn't, absolutely okay, an outlet. Okay. Obviously music, mm-hmm. like you're saying, and more specifically those moments of listening to an album, like you're recalling. And what I loved is, you know, you even get to know, because we have, our generation has such a relationship with liner notes, mm-hmm. we know producers, yeah. songwriters.
Recording studios.
Yep. And so it was fun to just go, oh, this person, and you recognize all the names.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I used to love that. But also I would say, you know, in my later in life, because it was interesting, it wasn't such a hobby as a kid, it's baking, you mm-hmm. know, cooking. But I would say, yeah, I guess more so baking. And then just, you know what? I actually just love to do anything with my hands. So it could be, I've made jewelry that I've made for boutiques. I worked for a jewelry designer before and have designed jewelry. So I've loved that. And it's all with your hands. Even to any outlet, like just wrapping, gift wrapping
yeah,
someone's
that's
thing
true.
And
yeah,
looking at what I have and going, okay, let me make a really pretty wrap for a person and using maybe 3 different wrapping papers and layering them in a way, you know, just mm-hmm. anything to do with my hands. And, yeah, so, I mean, there's so many things I love and want to still try even.
Yeah. And it does feel like over the past few decades, slowly, but all is in one direction, not the band, that we, not just as individuals, but as a society, mm-hmm. I think, have lost the time and attention,
yes,
and the resources for hobbies.
Yes, they did make a comeback, a little like bump of a comeback, like in 2020, when people
sourdough,
we were so stressed out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Collecting toilet paper.
Oh my goodness, yeah, but it's true. The value of hobbies has been lost for so long now.
Yeah.
You know, but what would you attribute that to? Like why, where did the hobbies go, Toast? What happened to hobbies? I know you have some thoughts on this.
Yes. Well, I think, okay. So I think that just growing older and therefore having more responsibilities and obligations in one's life, mm-hmm. I think that encroaches, you know, yep. On an
That's
individual
true.
level. Mm-hmm. Of hobbies. But I think also learning that basically across our society, wealth equality, so more of us having things in common in mm-hmm. terms of the level of our resources, that peaked in about like the mid, I think it was the mid-70s. That was the height of wealth equality.
Okay.
So basically, throughout our lifetimes, wealth inequality has gotten worse and worse and greater and
yes.
greater and
yes.
greater and greater and greater. And, I, you know, as that happens, that then pushes, that exerts a force, a psychological force on more of us common people to have to keep pace with the rising cost of living.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like,
I do.
Like when I think back to like, because back in the day, I mean, this is going back and back, but there was no cable bill or internet. You don't pay
oh
for internet,
God.
Right? You
there
didn't
were
have
four
to...
channels.
Right. And you had the rabbit ears and the tin foil. But yeah, you didn't have to worry about updating your computer
Mm-mm.
or your phone
nope.
or your phone plan.
No. Nope.
Healthcare was much more
simpler
simpler and affordable. Yep. Yeah. So it's like all of these rising costs, and yet the wages have not kept pace.
Yes.
So
true.
It's like we have this. That's why I think it's like, what's the side hustle? How are you gonna, you know, keep up, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're looking. So any extra, quote unquote, extra time and resources and energy that may have gone into hobbies in the past, mm-hmm. I think has gone to be like, well, I need to make more money.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you've been able to turn your hobby into
that's the holy grail
side hustle,
right? That's the holy, and that's what you see. I think so many people are like trying to do, and it's like so you're trying to provide value, you know, and show that you're worth something so that you can just get money.
But I will say, I mean, that's a slippery slope. But we're not here to discuss that. But that can be a slippery slope.
Well, and I think also, though, related to that is now that we have social media and wealth inequality, more of us are shown every day, not just on TV, but now in social media, how the people who do, quote unquote, have money live.
Oh, yeah. So it's because constantly in our,
Yeah, because if you don't have that awareness and it's like, hey, you just, you. Everybody.
You're probably a happier person.
Exactly. Everybody in your city and
content.
And on your neighborhood block, it's like, what do you do for fun? Well, you grill your food outside, you know, and that's what we all do for fun.
Yep.
You know, and but no, if you see on social media, oh, what these people do for fun is they go to, I don't know, where do they go?
I don't know.
Turks and Caicos or whatever, wherever they go, right? Oh, they go into their private jet. That's what they do. So then you have this psychological feeling of like this feeling that you're missing out, that you're behind, that you're not.
And now there's a hole. Now there's a hole.
Now you have this sense that you're missing out, and therefore you try to catch up, even subconsciously. And instead of just enjoying what you have,
you know what?
Just enjoying what you have, man.
The subconscious aspect.
You can't have a hobby. You have to make more money.
The subconscious aspect is so huge.
It isn't. And
I've got, it makes me want to Google some studies, because what is the impact? You know, what's the impact been in the past 5 years even?
Oh, with social media?
Yeah. On one's psychology, on one's, I mean, you know, there's so much research now about depression,
right? Anxiety,
suicide rates and all that thing, anxiety and all of that. But it's like the subconscious part. I mean, that's probably hard to study because it's subconscious, but I'm sure there are ways when they can look at your brain and what's lighting up and what's all that stuff. But anyways, yes, I absolutely feel like, you know, And it's a challenge to make time as an adult, and there's responsibilities, and you got to pay the bills, and you're catching up, and all this kind of all these things. There is so much value in making time for things like hobbies, which, in general, does seem to be viewed as, you know, frivolous. Like, oh my God, you're gonna, you know, it's not valued as much as something that is going to make money, as much as,
right?
Is in demand. You're making it for this group of people. And there's something to be said about, you know, doing these things, making time for these hobbies, no matter who values it, you know?
Because you value it. Right?
Exactly.
Because
you value just the fact that you value it,
the experience
is more
of just
than
doing
enough.
It.
Yes, yeah. Because at the end of the day, we are creative beings and we need to create. And I know that when I'm stressed, I will go and create something. That's what de-stresses me.
Wow, that's great.
I notice that I need to create. I need to move that beautiful creative energy through my whole body and cells and have myself rejuvenated and nourished by that. That's what hobbies do.
And be soaked in that energy to live and move and breathe within that network of an energy.
And not just chasing, and making ends meet and working so hard and just getting by. And like that's so tiring, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're not making time for those hobbies, you will feel it and be forced to. Like for me, I'm not really great at making time for all those things. But when I'm stressed, I definitely go to it. And it's the absolute remedy I need, you know? And then you get to reap the rewards, Toast, because normally I'm making a pumpkin cake or
I'm the taste tester.
But anyways, no, this leads all the way up to, so during the pandemic, Toast started a hobby, a new hobby, where she started making playlists. And what I'll say is it's not just any like playlist where she threw together a bunch of songs. She put her whole heart and soul and brain into this. She would research songs. She would, you know, put them in an order and then change the order. But even deciding what would be on a certain playlist was just so. Anyways, I told her we need to do a podcast on your playlist, and this is part of that.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But tell them a bit more about your playlists, and we can probably, let's see, we should share the holiday one because it's the time of year.
Okay,
to
yeah,
do that.
That's what.
About this hobby and how it made you feel, how it makes you feel.
Okay,
to do this.
Okay, how it makes me feel.
Yes. First of all, what inspired you to even do the first one? Like, what inspired you to do it?
It was again, like middle of 2020, like you said, and I was just trying to
cope.
yes, cope and process and integrate and adjust to being caught in the current of capital H history. Like, shit is happening.
Okay, okay.
Right? And it's big. It's so big. And last time this happened was 100 years ago. And how do I even take that in and feel that? Okay. And how do I, this now recontextualizes my life and everyone's life. Those are the types of sensations that I had.
Okay.
And so I went looking for music from 100 years ago, basically-ish, okay. You know, from what I could find and stuff like that. So that's how it first started.
But to see what people were writing about, because the time was mirroring our current time at that time. Mm-hmm. Is that why? Like, you wanted to see what were they writing about? How were they processing?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to feel connected to the ancestors. Okay. And that's the music that was the soundtrack for their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I felt there was a sense of, like, if I could expose myself to that, if I could hear what they heard, that would act like some kind of lifeline in a spiritual sense of being able to relate to people who knew what we were going through.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's so many aspects of it, but that's one that I can articulate.
Okay.
The others, I don't know if I can articulate. But that's how it started. And I have one type of playlist that I call flights that are arranged.
Oh, I love flights. That's the women, right?
That one of the flights is all women.
Okay.
But some other flights are different.
Okay.
But those are a certain type of playlist where it really, to me, it really, really, like what I'm trying to achieve with the playlist depends on the songs playing in that exact chronological order.
Mm.
Because I'm either taking you through a journey that is, you know, from our time back in time slowly.
Yeah.
Or I'm jumping around on purpose and trying to make these sonic connections so you can see the same beat.
Oh, yes.
The same exact beat that was used for one of the hit songs out of the Grease musical in the 70s. That same exact beat was used for a popular song back in the 1920s or 30s or whatever it was. And I juxtaposed those songs next to each other so that you're hit with that.
Mm.
And you can see, like, whoa, this is, you know, 80 years apart or whatever, but it's the exact same spirit of the song that's there.
What about the one that you did for, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like the nonsense words.
Oh.
Like they were no words. It was like just,
That one is called Flight Pop Wop-a-Loo-Bop.
Okay. I like that one and the falsetto one, which is fairly recent.
Yeah, I think that's my most
flight. Recent one.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the one we're going to share with the people, though? So
okay.
Talk about the one we're going to share.
So,
well, we can link all of them, but the highlighted holiday
later. Yeah, so,
one is.
So I made one just for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one for Thanksgiving. There's one for Christmas.
Okay.
So the Christmas one, and those are just, they're not flights.
Okay. So flights, just to touch back, flights are taking you from a certain time and journeying you through way back when, all the way up to today.
It's a journey. Some of them do, but
it's basically what it is, through time. A journey, a chronological journey through time. Is that accurate for how you're using flight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because flights are trying, they're trying to transcend the time horizon beyond, you know, they're trying to break us out of the time horizon that we are trapped in here in the 2020s.
Okay.
You know, so it's juxtaposing songs that we recognize from our lifetime mm-hmm. with songs that our ancestors would recognize from their lifetime. Okay. So it's mixed, it's a mashup of more contemporary and old songs.
Okay.
So those are flights.
Yeah.
But the Christmas one is just, it's just Christmas 100 years ago. So it's all the old timey shit.
Okay.
There's no modern stuff on it.
I don't think you can say the S word. Like, I think our podcast is marked clean and you've been kind of swearing on some of the past ones. Okay. So I don't know. What do we need to do about that? I don't know. Anyways, so watch it, Toast.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So it's for people who want to just have a taste of what the holidays were like 100 years ago.
If you want to
immerse yourself.
Yeah. So if you, because we can't travel through time yet.
Yeah.
We don't have that technology yet.
Many people are going to the moon. But we won't talk about that.
The moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different from time travel though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. If you're not gonna, you know, go to like some reenactment stuff, then this playlist,
these old-timey
playlists are the closest thing you can get to just plopping yourself, like just being in your kitchen and cooking a meal mm-hmm. and listening.
Bake some Christmas cookies.
Listening to the same music that your ancestors mm-hmm. had for their lifetimes.
Yeah. I love that. That
so
is so amazing.
It's music from about the 1920s up mm-hmm. through the like late 50s or so.
Okay.
Maybe 60 is earliest. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. Christmas 100 awesome. Years ago. And there's all kinds of music, obviously. But then I also selected very carefully picked radio addresses and radio shows.
That is right. Yes, you did do that. That was
because
yes.
that was part
of. Oh my
of,
gosh, is that where the Jell-O ad? There was a Jell-O.
J-E-L-L-O.
Wasn't there a Jell-O ad?
Jell-O.
Yeah. I love that. So,
because that was part of what
they would have heard.
Exactly. Yeah. That was their Netflix.
Well, I hope you folks take a listen to that to Toast playlist, whether it's that one, whether it's another one. We have a few of them listed on our website, sienantoast.com, but we also have a few listed on our Instagram account. So
I'll put a link to all of them if you want to see.
Let's
I'll
do
put
that.
It in
let's
blog
do
post.
That because people, you know, I'm sure people are resonating with some of this. But just to kind of loop back in and go back to what we were saying about hobbies, make time for them. And if you're thinking like, well, I don't have a hobby, there is something you love to do. And one thing is to go back to when you were a kid. What did you gravitate towards? You know, what was it? It may not be that exact thing, but if you go and think back and immerse yourself back in that time, something will come to you to try. Mm-hmm. So we encourage that.
And really doing it is, it's kind of an act of resistance and an act of pushing back against the pressure to conform to this hyper-capitalistic, consumerist society. So if that helps you, you know, maybe
if
you
that
can think
motivates
of it that way,
you, yes, then absolutely do it.
Because doing a hobby is saying, I'm going to enjoy life now, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm not like having to wait and, you know, achieve something else before I do it. Right. I can do it right now.
Because
that's true.
A lot of people do wait until they retire to then, well, I'm going to pick up a hobby. Mm. You know?
I can't swear, so I'm going to say what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know. You were just silent. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Rate and review the podcast wherever you get them. Spread the word. Thank you so much again. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and siennaandtoast.com. We'll put all the links to the stuff we mentioned over there. Until then, or until next time. What do you mean until then? Until what? Until next time, we are encouraging you to live your love story, which includes hobbies.
Intuition is our spiritual GPS and the single best tool that we have for navigating our lives. I'm Victoria Shaw, and on my Intuitive Connection podcast, I will share with you the ways to connect with your intuition and awaken the gifts of your soul. In each episode, I'll draw on my own intuitive gifts and my training as an Ivy League trained counselor and psychologist to help support you in reaching your highest potential. Start listening now on Mind Body Spirit FM Podcast Network or wherever you find your podcasts.